Well, now to a story right out of Hollywood, but it's real, and it took place in upstate New York at Eastern New York Correctional Facility, a maximum security prison. It was a formal debate with judges and scorekeeping and everything between inmates from the prison and the Harvard debate team, which last year won the national championships. The inmates were part of a rigorous college education program run by nearby Bard College. 10 inmates apply for every spot, only one get in. The inmates research without the internet. It's not allowed, and they wait weeks for books they order to get cleared by security. They challenged Harvard, and they won. Max Kenner is executive director of the Bard Prison Initiative. He joins us from NPR's New York studios. So, Max, set the stage, because it was a stage, right, set up at the prison?
It was a stage, absolutely.
And three inmates on one side on one team, three Harvard undergrads on the other. What was their topic?
They had an argument that was maybe challenging or difficult to make about whether public schools should be allowed to bar children of undocumented immigrants from enrolling.
We're understanding that the three inmates who were there were absolutely against that question, but they argued in its favor.
Certainly our students recognize that they are an example of the benefits of real radical inclusion. They are predisposed to thinking that all young people should have access to an education. But more importantly, with respect to where debate fits in to the curriculum of an undergraduate program, a student, an undergraduate, you know, is forced to master arguments that don't come naturally to her or to him. When one has to go through that exercise of articulating an argument that you may not respect or may not have thought through, you're forced to honor the argument, honor another person's perspective, and I think become more empathetic. Yeah. And that's something all students would benefit from.
And they won. Now, take on the cynics first, who might think, Max, that, oh, this is just one of those warm, fuzzy moments when, of course, the inmates won, because what a happy movie ending that is, you know? But it doesn't work that way in debate.
Sure. So the judges, you know, there's a very technical scoring apparatus, which I can't profess to exactly understand. But for each of these debates, we do them twice a year, once a semester. We bring in objective judges who are not otherwise affiliated with either institution. So I defer to their expertise and trust that they are honest and forthcoming.
Well, Judge Mary Nugent said that your team, the Bard team, the inmate team, made a strong case that schools attended by many undocumented children were failing so badly that students were simply being warehoused. So they proposed that these dropout factories with overcrowded classrooms could deny children admission, because then maybe a wealthier school or a nonprofit would step in and help them. Really quite some thinking. In fact, the Harvard team said they had no idea how to rebut that because they just hadn't thought of it.
Well, I have a wonderful colleague whose name is David Register, who's our debate coach, and he would be a better person to tell you about the techniques and all the technicalities involved. But I think I can say that our students felt like they had an argument that was maybe challenging or difficult to make, and they were going to force them to really articulate why it was the right thing and such an easy case to make, which I guess they made it challenging for the kids from Harvard.
So now speak to people who might think, how did that happen? I mean, maybe you're not surprised at how well they do, but you know people are.
People are, Robin, you're right. But if there's any problem that we have in education, particularly higher education, it follows from the absolutely catastrophically low expectations we have of people. So many of our undergraduates at the best colleges and universities in the United States aren't surprised whatsoever to be there. Their parents went there, their grandparents went there, and they're going through the motions. And throughout American history, there have always been pockets of people. You can think of the immigrant experience. You can think of the extraordinary accomplishments of the free people in the generation after the emancipation from slavery. Right? There are always people in American history who value education more and achieve more. And I believe in the United States today, the incarcerated population represents one of those groups.
That they value what they don't have. And the Washington Post ran an article this week titled, "Why You Shouldn't Be Surprised That Prisoners Crushed Harvard's Debate Team." That people make assumptions about prisoners' intelligence. They note that, you know, sophistication can go into things like the recent escape from the Clinton facility, also up in New York, but also that prisoners aren't necessarily committing crime because they're not smart. But what do you say, Max, to people who say, because they've committed crimes. And our understanding is that at least two of the debate team members were in for manslaughter. So they've killed people. Why should they have the benefit of a college-level education? Why should they have the benefit of a fun afternoon debate with Harvard kids?
Well, whether or not it was fun, you'd have to ask someone else. And I think being really trivializing or being flippant about how difficult life is for incarcerated people in the United States and how extreme the punishment is not responsible. And it's something that people do all the time. If we give people the opportunity to improve themselves, be better parents, to be less likely to commit crime in the future, and to be contributing members of society, we'll all do better. Now, I'll be completely honest. I'm not in the business of criminal punishment, and I'm not in the business of making the kind of moral generalizations that you're asking of me. I am in the business of education. And when I look at the United States, I see a society with an absolute crisis of college access, and I cannot face the question that you're asking. We finally found something that works, that's inexpensive, and gets results that otherwise seem impossible, right? When we find something that works, the idea is we shut it down rather than we replicate it. I think it's precisely the wrong question to ask.
Well, your stats bear out at least part of what you're saying, that people who are in this program, their recidivism rate is incredibly low after being released. Only 2% go back to prison compared to 40% for the rest of the population. But I guess, I mean, I'm giving voice to people who might be victims of inmates, who might be asking why they're getting these benefits. You know that when Governor Cuomo in New York wanted to start a college program for people who end up in prison because they didn't have access to college initially and because they're coming out again and you want better citizens, Republicans rose up and said, no way. Their victims are scraping together money to go to college.
First of all, you know, I would say that violence in American society is something we have to take absolutely seriously. But there's a point at which responding with something other than violence might be more effective. And there's a point at which when we have to acknowledge and we can go through all these typical, predictable, boring old arguments about, you know, crime and punishment, personal responsibility, the problem, you know, the terrible racial problems that have been bequeathed to us. Or we can look at the problems and say we're going to try actually to solve the problems and do it in a way which treats one another respectfully and with dignity and with hope for a better future. Punishment alone will not get us there.
Were you there that day, this debate?
Sure.
You know, what was it like in that room when it was obvious the inmates won?
Well, you know, obviously everyone was very excited. There was a considerable audience of about 100, 115 other incarcerated Bard students from that institution. But, you know, we've done this a number of times. And we've debated West Point Academy, University of Vermont, and, you know, have done very well. And we think that the college that we have at Eastern Correctional Facility and the college we have across prisons in the state of New York are among the best learning colleges of any in the United States because of the dedication and real persistent hard work that our students put in, the curiosity that they have. So we've won a handful of debates before. We did so well, we thought it was really important that we try to take on the best team in the country. And so we reached out to them, not as an act of charity, but to compete with other undergraduates who have the same interest and curiosity that you do.
Max, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Robin.